Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome in, Big Blue Kickoff Live, Anita Marks and Paul Dottino, of course, and Big Blue Nation, who tunes in, and we appreciate you adjusting your schedule each and every really week, because I know the show, sometimes it's on at 12:30, sometimes 12, sometimes 1:30, but we're keeping it at 1:30 because we've got two late practices that are going to be taking place the next 2 days. So Giants not practicing until around 5:30 this evening. What does that mean? Media availability, where the Giants players made themselves available to the media, did not happen until 12:30. Obviously, Paul and I want to speak to the players so that we can come in here and host a show for an hour with all the latest information. So,
and by the way, I hope you folks ate, because I'm starving.
I know, I tried to down something really quick, of course, before we started the show. But nonetheless, a number of players and coaches were made available. Head coach Tom Coughlin, offensive coordinator Ben McAdoo, as well as Eli Manning. And obviously, let's just right off the top, let's throw this out here, and I know it's all over Twitter. I'm sure a number of news outlets have already played the interview that Eli Manning addressing the media, and obviously the big talk for the past few days has been Eli Manning and the contract talks that are going on with the Giants. And Eli Manning addressed the media today and said that false reports. He's never said to the Giants that he wants to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. I thought it was interesting, Paul, when he said that he got a call from his father, Papa Archie Manning, who was very, very, very upset with the reports, and he said that he had made a call. Then Eli then hung up with his father and called Pat Hanlon to find out who's reporting this. So Eli Manning wanted to make it perfectly clear to the New York media, and I'm sure now the national media, that his objective is not to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. So reports were false, and this is what Eli had to say.
And we know Eli very well, and if you've heard me at any time over the last couple of days on different outlets, I've basically been telling you that. A lot of semantics involved here, a lot of miscommunication, misunderstanding. I never for a second thought that demand had taken place. We know Eli. We also know that Eli offered to give back some money to get Victor Cruz's deal done just about a year ago. That's not the way this guy operates. And so we move on. The report is inaccurate, and we move on to other things, such as Victor Cruz, by the way, the man I just mentioned moments ago, who Tom Coughlin says has a little bit of a calf situation, thinks it might be related to dehydration, and it's not related to his knee surgery. However, he will not practice today. A bit unfortunate, because to this point, he's like been all systems go. I mean,
right.
The green light has been bright for Victor Cruz. And I, for one, I'm going to admit it now to you, I really thought there was a good chance of seeing him play against Jacksonville.
You really wanted to see it.
I think a lot of people did.
I think he wanted to see it. I think he wants to get out there, and he wants to see how he will do in a preseason game. But everything has been so positive leading up to this. Again, we just want to stress, even though Victor's not practicing today, Tom Coughlin said that it has nothing to do with his knee. This is just a strained calf, and they think this is from dehydration, because let's face it, I mean, it has been pretty brutal around these parts.
Yeah, the humidity's been nasty.
You
Floridians, I know you don't mind the humidity, but
I don't know. I played golf yesterday. It was tough to get through all 18.
But here's what I would like.
I mean, that's night and day from putting on pads and
helmets. Yeah.
And trying to really play in this weather.
As it turned out, it was a fortuitous luck of a stroke of luck for Tom Coughlin that this is the week he's having nighttime practices, because it is a little bit better at nighttime. You know, we're talking about a 5:30 start or so. It certainly beats being out there at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the middle of the day. Our question today, Anita, which we discussed coming in and we didn't even know about Victor Cruz's situation, is how much time would you really like to see him play in the preseason? Do you think he needs a token appearance in one or two games? Given this tiny calf situation today, again, I think the chances of him playing against Jacksonville are probably greatly diminished. Do you think he needs to play against the Jets? Do you think he needs to play against the Patriots? Eli himself, when I asked him about it, you know, what's the disappointment factor here? Because I'm sure you were really looking forward to getting Cruz out there. He said, hey, you know, of course it's disappointed, yeah, But he thinks they've had enough of great practice sessions together that it shouldn't make that much of a difference.
No, but you, I mean, listen, Paul, Victor,
a game's a game.
And on top of that, Victor hasn't played in a game in a long time.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have very different intensity levels when it comes to practice. Practice is one level. Preseason games is another. Regular season games is another. Postseason is another. Super Bowl is another. You have all in different intense levels of you know, what a player experiences during a game and thereafter. And so I think it's very important that Victor Cruz gets a little preseason action. Now, I guess my big question mark is, if there was one game without any injury, I'd say that this would have been the game. Because week three going up against the Jets, do you really want to risk that?
Probably not.
Exactly. And then week four is...
Nobody plays.
Right. So if ever there was a preseason game that I think you'd want to see Victor Cruz playing, it's this. It's week two. But again, nothing confirmed yet, but it just chances do not look good if he's dealing with his calf issue.
You're reading my mind, because I was thinking to myself when I talked to Victor on the sidelines in Cincinnati and I asked him about this very thing. He seemed very anxious, and I was kind of seeing the twinkle in his eye about he was looking at Jacksonville. I really think so. And I know I felt the same way for all the reasons Anita has just described. You know, I think he does need some preseason snaps. I concur with you on that, too. I don't think they should just go in fresh and have him get into a game for the first time in almost a year against the Cowboys opening night. I think that's a mistake. It may turn out that way. Who knows? You know, the medical people are going to deal with this as best as they can. But I certainly would like to see him get some game reps. I really would.
So then do you have another show question now that this one's kind of...
Well, the fans may think otherwise. If you want to talk about defense, we could talk about who you think the starting safety combination is going to be. Because, Anita, right now, holy smokes, you might have a better chance of naming the right guys in Atlantic City. Because the safeties are so banged up, we don't know, is it going to be Landon Collins? Is he going to come back from that MCL sprain quick enough that he will be the opening day starter? Or is this going to linger and keep him on the sidelines for a few weeks? I don't know the answer to that.
Again, Giants, they started practice today in pads, by the way, at 5:30. Who do you anticipate to be the two starting safeties today at practice?
I think Jeremy Miles is going to be one, and I think Bennett Jackson's probably going to be the other. Now,
what happens when they need a nickel corner?
Well, I think what's going to happen is Jackson's going to slide down into the slot. They seem to want to see if he can do it. He's had a rough time lately in Cincinnati. It didn't work out so well. But I think that those two are going to be your starting safeties. And if they can stay healthy and you know, do some good things on the field together, I wouldn't be shocked if Collins falls too far behind that Miles and Jackson start against Dallas. I think it's possible. Collins is missing valuable snaps here. I mean, that's going to set him back. Let's not kid ourselves.
No, we don't.
Question is, how much time does he miss? We don't know the answer to that. He's got a sprained MCL on his knee. The other safeties, Burhey's got the calf. He worked on his own yesterday with the trainers. I don't think he's quite ready to go yet. Cooper Taylor's got a sore toe. He told us this morning he will practice today, but I don't think he's up to speed enough to be starting against the Cowboys a few weeks from now. This is quite a jumble.
Let me ask you this, and again, we're going to get to your phone calls in just a second. 201-939-4513 is the phone number you want to get in. Big Blue Kickoff Live, Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, and of course you with you till 2:30. And then again, practice starts at 5:30. Players, coaches, specifically offensive coordinator Ben McAdoo and head coach Tom Coughlin, as well as Eli Manning, made themselves available to the media today. When do cuts begin? What's the time frame here?
When do rosters
start getting trimmed?
I have it. Well, it's in my phone. It's in my phone.
Hold on.
I'm gonna look it up.
All right.
They go to 75, then they go to 53.
Right.
And
so you have those dates.
I have all these dates in my phone.
So realistically, thoughts on you know, some safeties and some offensive linemen that might be trimmed on another team that might make their way over here? I mean, that wouldn't be a huge surprise, would it?
Nothing's a huge surprise right now. I mean, look, they just picked up Brandon Merriweather off the street.
Right.
So that tells you, you know, that they know that they're thin.
Did he say why he wasn't on with a club
prior to the
Giants?
Part of it was, again, much like we heard from James Jones a couple of weeks ago, he said he was looking for the right situation. He said he had some phone calls, just didn't feel right about them, And, you know, he decided to hang out for a while. So I get that. You know, he's every player, understand this, it's not just if you want the player, it's also about do you, does the player want you? The 53 cutoff is the 5th of September.
Right.
And the 75 cutoff is, I think it's the Sunday before. Oh, it's all blurry on my phone now. Here we go. Oh, you know how this happens. The 75 is, where's the 75? I don't see the 75
on
here.
In the meantime, while Paul's trying to find it out, let's take our calls. 201-939-4513. Let's kick it off. Line 2, we've got Jason calling in from New Jersey. Jason, welcome.
Hey, yeah, I just wanted to make one point about Western Richburg. I'm just going to ask Paul about it. I don't see any, most people, when they talk about the offensive line, they haven't really brought up Richburg, but I went back and watched his game. I didn't think he played well at all. Especially, my concern lies with him in the run game. I don't feel he's a good run blocker. He couldn't run block at all last year. And then if you watch the game, there was one play where Pat Sims, the defensive tackle in the Bengals, just ragdolled him and tackled Andre Williams in the backfield. And there were other plays as well where he got pushed back. He doesn't really he doesn't get any push in the run game. And the center is supposed to anchor the running game because we see that with the Cowboys, Travis Frederick, with the Seahawks before they traded Max Unger, and like the Eagles with Jason Kelsey. And I'm just concerned that Weston Richburg, I mean, this guy, we invested a 43rd overall pick in him, and in 2 years so far, he's shown that he's not a really good run blocker. And I was just wondering what you thought about his performance against the Bengals.
I don't think he played particularly well against Cincinnati, but I couldn't disagree with your analysis more because I've seen enough of this guy. First of all, his college cut-ups, and then what I saw last year, and then what I've seen in practice. He is a really good run blocker. He's very ferocious. He's very agitated. He's energetic. He's strong. He's powerful. He's got everything it takes to be a really good center in this league. I agree with you. He did not play well the other night against Cincinnati. I mean, mediocre at best. I think that entire offensive line would tell you that they did not have a good day. I mean, you don't need me to tell you that. You saw that. I agree. But to paintbrush him the way you just have, I could not disagree with you more, especially since he was out of position last year. He was a rookie, kind of thrown into the deep end of the pool and said, look, we need you at guard. You got to play guard. Very, very difficult position for him to be in. I will tell you, it's not just my opinion. I know personnel guys around the league, and I also know people here who absolutely 100% believe that he is going to be a real, real good one. So I'm not just talking out of left field here.
We've got some dates for you. On September 1st, before 4 p.m., the 75-man rosters have to be trimmed. Well, 275.
Right.
And then September 5th, the rosters have to be trimmed to 53. So, you know, that's a very interesting date, I think, Paul. September 1st, after 4 p.m., rosters being trimmed down to 75, because I do believe that there's going to be some pretty intriguing safety and offensive line talent that will be out there.
Well, you know, you're talking about teams going from 90 to 75, so that's 15 per team. And if you multiply that out over the course of 31 other teams, that's a lot of bodies getting set free. Now, the question is how many of those guys were just training camp fodder to begin with. In most cases, they are. But there always are also a handful of guys that potentially maybe they were a little nicked up, couldn't stay on the field. Maybe some team says, hey, we have some really good young guys we're just trying to get extra work for in training camp because we think they have big ups. And this other fellow's been around for 8 or 9 years, and we already know he's got most of his best stuff behind him, so maybe we'll set him free. That's the kind of guy, okay, Merriweather would be that kind of guy, although he was a street free agent last week. That's the type of guy you may wind up coming across on the wire there.
Also, just really quick, I've got an interesting tweet that I want to share with you. But before that, we're talking about offensive line, obviously, with Richburg. But McAdoo, Ben McAdoo, speaking to the media today, you know, a lot of questions thrown his way about Jeff Schwartz and the fact that he has been spending a lot of time playing that right tackle position. This is something that you and I have talked about a lot on the show leading up to training camp. Mm-hmm. That don't don't not anticipate that to happen, that there is a possibility that Jeff Schwartz could play right tackle. And sure enough, he's getting some reps there. Your thoughts on what Ben McAdoo said to the media?
Well, his comments were simple. He's got to be able to stay on the field, and I need to see more of him out there to learn what it is that he can do. Remember, not only did Jeff Schwartz not play a whole lot last year, he didn't put a lot on tape. Ben McAdoo couldn't see. So this is a situation that the Giants kind of have to deal with right now. Put in guys who can practice, first of all, find out who's practicing today, and then start mixing and matching to find out what it is they can do with their specific spots. I'll give you a great example. I'm at practice last night. Anita, all of a sudden, I see the rookie, Bobby Hart, out of Florida State, taking some right tackle snaps. And he'd been playing guard earlier during training camp.
McAdoo mentioned him today.
And, well, he had to because everybody saw it.
Right.
You know? And I'm like, Bobby Hart, right tackle. Now, in the last week, as the Giants were getting ready for Cincinnati.
We've actually, believe it or not, we've actually had quite a few calls coming into Big Blue Kickoff Live. After the draft, a lot of fans really, you know, a question, wanting to know more about him and asking, do you think he's got a shot to make the starting five?
I thought that they'd be better off moving him inside to guard because of his build. And quite frankly, I think it's a lot to ask, a lot of pressure to put on a late-round draft pick to just throw him right out there, a tackle on the edge. That's a tremendous amount of responsibility. So they did work him at guard for the first couple of weeks. And what they found was he was coming along, and specifically in run blocking, he was coming along. They like what they saw out of him in terms of getting that push right off the line of scrimmage. Well, again, did well in Cincinnati, one of those guys who helped himself on the trip. And then last night, he got some reps over at right tackle. So let's see. You know, here's the thing. If you know that your current starting five, the starting five they put out there against the Bengals, needs some work, there's nothing wrong with looking in-house to see if there's anybody else who might be able to help you while you start perusing the waiver wire as well. And that's what the Giants are doing. They're exploring every single option possible, short of signing me, which would be a really bad idea, by the way.
That could be dangerous. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. You want to get in. This is Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, of course. And you, coming to you live from the Giants facility. What is this, day 18, 19?
I've lost count.
Yeah, of training camp. So as Giants getting ready for preseason game number 2 against the Jacksonville Jaguars, taking place Saturday, 7:30 p.m. is kickoff. Of course, then the big week 3 against the Jets, where you'll see a lot more of the first team play, possibly more so into the second half, maybe the entire third quarter. And then, of course, ending up at New England, and that's a Thursday night game at 7:30, trying to get ready for Dallas. I'm going to share this tweet with you because we're spending a lot of time talking safety and offensive line. Why not? Really, the two biggest concerns on this team and this roster right now. This is from James. And again, you can hit us up on Twitter. We monitor Twitter throughout the show. Hashtag Giants Chat. This is from James. He says, ranking our safeties. Number 1, Collins. 2, Merriweather. 3, Burhe. 4, Jackson. 5, Taylor. 6, Miles. 7, Haley. 8, Curry. Thoughts on that? How would you switch that up?
My problem is really simple, and I'm not trying to cop out here. I haven't seen enough. I haven't seen enough of Landon Collins. I've seen some stuff good, some stuff not so good. I haven't seen enough to rank him. Merriweather got here 2 days ago. You want me to rank him? He got here 2 days ago. He took a few reps yesterday with the first team. What does that prove? He's been out for several months on the street. I'm not going to rank him. I will tell you this. Bennett Jackson, who started out real well, you know, didn't have such a good game the other night in Cincinnati, and that was disappointing to a lot of folks, including the coaching staff. And Nat Burhe hasn't been on the field since the offseason program started. So how are we going to rank any of those guys, Anita? It can't be done.
Well, I think he's just kind of having fun with it. You know, it's not like this is your official depth chart, Paul. I mean,
okay,
it's a show.
I'm taking it a little too seriously.
We're just talking football. We're just having fun. This is from Keith. Hashtag Giants Chat. Again, make sure you include that. Caller is wrong. It was John Jerry who tackled Williams.
What?
I guess the caller before, it said something about Richburg, and he said no, it was John Jerry as opposed to Richburg. I don't know.
I'm not sure. Look, I'll be honest with you. When the caller started to ramble on and on and on and on and just crushing Richburg, he lost me a little bit there because I know what kind of player Richburg is. So I'm not sure exactly what that comment is.
Here's you got to be bleeping me. Interesting. Wants to know, how much do we expect to see running back Andre Williams against Jacksonville? Any idea of our running back carry breakdown for the game? I want you to answer that, but before you do, McAdoo really had – did you hear the question that was posed to him in regard to the running backs, asking about the three running backs that, of course, we all know about, and that's Rashad Jennings, Shane Vereen, and Andre Williams.
Keep going.
That's right. He brought up Darkwa. He said, hey, you gotta include Darkwa in there. I think Darkwa has really impressed him, has really impressed a number of these coaches. And so now this is going to be an interesting situation, Paul, when it comes to how many running backs are they going to keep on the roster. Darkwa, of course, utilizing in the running back, that backfield, as well as special teams. I think it's going to come down. I think it's going to be a tough decision to make if he continues to have the success.
We talked the day after the game in Cincinnati. And, you know, you tried to pin me down and said, who was the star of the game? And what did I say?
Darkwa.
That's it. Case closed. He was by far the best player on the field for the Giants.
But one can argue that, you know, he came in the fourth quarter and, you know, he was going up against...
Well, no, he came in earlier than that. He came in earlier than that.
What, and middle towards the third?
Second quarter. He was the one who scored the touchdown.
Did he?
Yes. They had a 67-yard, 8-play drive in the second quarter. It was the Giants' best drive of the night. Nassib was the quarterback, and Darkwa was the guy who was running that ball downfield. And then he did make a mistake on the touchdown. David Deal pointed it out on the radio broadcast, and I give David credit because obviously he would know. He said Darkwa began his leap a little too early, a little bit too far behind the line. He should have gone up a little closer to the line of scrimmage before he went airborne. Nonetheless,
it still counted.
It still counted. It was a touchdown. And there's no question he was the star of the night for the Giants. And, you know, I like him a lot. Look, you remember me talking about him last year, Anita. I don't know if the Giants are going to be able to keep four halfbacks plus Heinoski at fullback. That's a tight squeeze for me. But if they do keep four, it's very hard for me to turn my back on Orleans Darkwa. It really is.
So to answer the tweet that just came in regard to what to expect from Andre Williams against Jacksonville, any idea how the running back carry will be distributed in preseason game number two?
I think they're going to want to see more of Darkwa. I think they're going to want to see more of Hunt, the running back from Purdue, who had the 70-yard kickoff return, which was very, very impressive. But from scrimmage, they probably didn't see as much of him as they would like to see. I don't know that Williams or Jennings or Vereen have a lot to prove. I think the two of us know what they can do. I think the coaches know what they can do. And running behind an offensive line that continues to be a jigsaw puzzle, is it really fair to those guys even to put them back there? I don't know. I don't think we're going to see a lot of the top three. That's just my opinion.
All right, let's continue with our calls again. 201-939-4513, the number to get in on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino with you today. Let's go to line one. John's calling in from Jacksonville. John, welcome in.
Hi, Anita. Hey, Paul. How you doing, my friend?
Hi.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. I've been out for a few days, but I watched Darkwa. I had that was a 7 o'clock thing on the NFL. Boy, he's got some jump starts. He's got some vision. I'll tell you, I don't see how you can cut a guy like that. The guy was came in like you said in the second quarter, impressed the heck out of me.
Yeah, he's got vision. He's got some power. He's got some leverage. He lowers his shoulder and he likes to deliver the blow when he starts getting hit.
Right,
perpetual motion moving forward. He's strong for his size.
Oh, yeah. I'm a little guy, too. You know what I'm saying? What I'm trying to say is he's got the vision that a lot of running backs don't have.
Yeah, he's very patient to the hole also.
Yep. I think he's going to be a star.
Well, I'm not going to go there, but I'll tell you this. He belongs on somebody's 53.
Remember back when, not that I'm a Jets fan, when a Jets fan, they cut Woodhead. Look what happened to Woodhead.
Here's what I'll tell you about Darkwa. I mentioned this to Sean O'Hara yesterday. We did the MSG show, the Training Camp Live show, which, by the way, airs again tonight at 6 o'clock. New edition with Bobby Papa. What I will say to you is, I said, Sean, I see a resemblance, although not quite the size, but I see a resemblance in his style of play to Ward. Remember Derek Ward?
I remember Derek Ward. I remember Tiki Barber.
He's not a Tiki Barber. He's not a Tiki Barber, please. He doesn't have those kinds of quicks. But he does remind me a lot of Ward, and Sean agreed with that. Said maybe physically not quite the same build, a little smaller, a little more compact, but very similar style of player.
He's got a lot of heart.
Yeah, he does. And he pass protects. Don't forget that. Big time.
Yeah,
that's important.
Yeah, without a doubt. I was watching the game.
Yep. Hey, thanks for the call.
All right, my friend. We'll call you down the road, and I'll watch that show at, what'd you say, 6 o'clock on
6
the
o'clock tonight. Yes, sir.
All right, we'll do that. All right, guys. Talk to you later.
Thank you, John. Let's go to Philadelphia. James is calling in on line 3. James, welcome in.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
All right.
I'm glad to find just Anita on the radio here, or on the computer rather. Two questions: one non-football, one football. Anita Mark, are you married?
No, I'm not married.
I'm just saying, man, I gotta be a lucky person to have a woman who loves football this much.
I don't know.
If my wife likes football just a tenth as much as you like, I'd be a happy man. I gotta watch football alone. Now back to the football question. Back to Hart. I called a while back, and I think I was talking to you, Paul, a while back about Hart, you know, making a push for a starter, and I just seen it for the strength and his size. I think he'd make a great guard. And but you said, like you said, they were looking at him at tackle a little bit, but just to have him at guard, I mean, with the strength he showed, you know, in the combines and everything else. And it just looked like he's that type of player that, you know, will come in and make a good contribution.
I agree with you. His body type does seem to be better suited to guard. And, again, there's less pressure as opposed to being on the edge. Seventh-round pick making a jump to potentially being in the mix for an offensive line spot's a lot to ask. So I understand what the Giants did with him. I totally agreed with it. But at the moment, what they're saying to themselves is, let's try to find as many combinations as we can. Let's make everybody as versatile as we can. And let's just see what he can do out there. And you know what? That's not a bad idea. Because, let's face it, he came from a big-time program at Florida State. It's not like he's coming from nowhere. Even though it is still a big jump, he did come from a school that does throw the ball a lot. So he's got to have at least some idea of what it takes to play tackle.
That's true. Like you say, if he had the you know, the little nastiness with him, or the meanness to, you know, to be a nice run blocker, like you say with the play he came from, you know, he probably can pick up on a pass block. And one more thing from yesterday, a couple of calls from yesterday when this guy called. I don't want to call him an idiot too much, but this was that for have him say that they should trade JPP is like ridiculous. Because let the man come back, see what he got, see where his injury stands at, and if he can play, I mean, that'd be ridiculous for them to give up JPP, not knowing where his health-wise, if he can still play. Because me, personally, I don't think that finger going to make a big difference once he comes down to play. And you're not really doing – you shouldn't be doing a whole bunch of grabbing anyway. You want to put your full body into someone. But I just think, you know, a couple of so-called fans is, like, panicking a little too early.
All right, well, thanks for the call.
Thank you for the phone call. Again, hit us up on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. This is from Easy, and he's kind of explaining. He said that from what he saw, Andre Williams got tackled in the backfield because John Jerry didn't chip block the defensive tackle, shading Richburg before going to the second level. He's just defending Richburg and saying that really was the onus was more on John Jerry for Williams getting tackled in the backfield. Do you agree with that?
There was one play in particular that was very noticeable. Giants handed the ball off to Williams. Jerry was at right guard. The lineman sliced in front of Jerry into the A-gap and got right to Williams. He had absolutely no chance at all. He was hammered. And it was there for everybody to see. You don't know what the blocking scheme was. You don't know what they called out, but it would certainly appear, based on face value, that Jerry should have at least gotten a piece of the guy at the very least.
201-939-4513. The phone number, also hashtag Giants Chat. This is from Joe. If the Giants keep 5 running backs, where can you cut back? We need DBs and offensive line.
And that's the problem. That's a huge problem. Where do you rob Peter to pay Paul? Because they've got a number of running backs who appear to be talented enough to make it. They've got a number of wide receivers who appear talented enough to make it. It looks like defensive line-wise, you know, with the five defensive ends, although Selvey, you know, banged up his knee yesterday. Tom said it didn't sound too serious. They expect him back shortly. What do you do, you know? These injuries, Anita, really put them in a bad spot. I think, you know, several years ago when you came here from Baltimore, the Giants, they had fewer of these issues. And then all of a sudden they started creeping up. And I remember saying to you, the thing that always perplexes me, even after all the years that I've been covering the team, is when you go into that last week or so of cuts and you have these players who are in that limbo period. Are they going to miss a couple of days? Are they going to miss 3 or 4 weeks? What do you do, especially when they're backups and they're fringe guys? They may be on the back end of your depth chart. And you say to yourself, well, can I give a roster spot to a guy who's so badly nicked up? And then it's like, if I don't have, you know, six healthy cornerbacks, do I have to keep seven or eight because I got two or three guys with bad wings? When you do that, you got to steal from another position, which is all the more reason why I'd love to see them keep four running backs. I don't know if they're going to be able to do it. They certainly can't keep five. No way.
Only time will tell. Let's go to line two. Derek is calling in from Hotlanta. I'm not sure if it's hotter in Atlanta than it is here, but Derek, welcome.
It's kind of overcast today. You know, it's been raining the last couple of days. But how you guys doing today?
Hi.
I'm going on the same type of line here some players and maybe making a roster spot. So I just got a couple of questions. Akeem Hunt. What does he need to do to make this team? Does he need to take back the touchdown in preseason? Is that will that secure him a spot, or even that won't even secure him a spot?
I don't know that Akeem Hunt can actually outplay the four guys ahead of him, because I think Dark was ahead of him, okay? I don't know that he can outplay those guys, all right? So okay. To me, I don't think he can win a spot. Now, that doesn't mean he doesn't belong in the league, because I think he does based on what I've seen here the last couple of weeks. Now, I remember I got ripped during the offseason because somebody asked me at the end of rookie minicamp, what do you think about Akeem Hunt? And I said, well, I looked at his college cut-ups. He's got straight-ahead speed, but that's really his calling card. I don't see enough of sideway quicks. I don't see enough of juke moves, and I certainly don't see enough size or power to be able to hold up. So I see him as a third-down scat back, as a kick-return guy, and I think, boy, he would make a great practice squad player because he could run the quarterback run option, you know, the read option play. I think he's a great practice squad guy because he could do a lot for you with his quicks, with his speed.
So just a hypothetical.
Well,
you know, he had a pretty good kickoff return.
He did.
The next couple
he did.
Of games, he has similar type of kickoff returns. He's not going to make it to the practice squad. So do we just say, okay, we just got a player to do. We just can't keep him. We just got him go.
Look, you'll remember many, many years ago, the Giants wound up with too many running backs, and 5 minutes before the final cutdown, they wound up making a deal with the Packers with Grant. And they traded Ryan Grant to the Packers literally five minutes before the cut to 53, because the Packers called him and said, we need a running back. Do you have any for us? They knew the Giants had five. And so the Giants traded Ryan Grant and got a draft pick. That may be how this thing goes, because if all five backs are healthy, I'm sorry, but right now, to me, Hakeem Hunt's number five, and I can't keep him over Darkwa. I can't do it.
Okay. Anita, I'll hang up and listen to your response, but can you give me your opinion whether these three players make the team? Corey Washington, Jeremy Davis, and Jerome Cunningham. And I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Thank you. I'll tell you what, I think Corey Washington is on notice right now, unfortunately, because James Jones has come in, again, another guy that Ben McAdoo mentioned today when he addressed the media. And don't forget, when he came in and Jerry Reese said, listen, we're bringing him in, he's competing for the third, fourth, and fifth position at the wide receiver position. And his veteran and his he's a pro's pro. I think this locker room needs that. I think this wide receiving core needs that. So I think it's going to be really tough for Corey Washington to make this roster, Paul. And tell me if you think not. I don't think he'll make it through waivers either. I think another team will grab him up if he's not part of the final 53.
You're making a lot of sense. And I really can't add much to it. I mean, that's just what it is.
So that's Corey Washington. Davis, yeah, I do believe he's going to make this roster. No?
Yeah, I think so, too. They're very happy with the fact that not only does he listen very well and he's extremely smart and well-versed in football, but he's also giving them special team stuff.
Which is really important. And again, Tom Coughlin addressed the media today and said that one of the things he's going to be looking at in this game, this week 2 game against Jacksonville, is special teams. It's going to be a really big key for them. They really want to see the special teams really perform well. So this is going to be a big test for special teams. And then Cunningham, you're here every day. Unfortunately, I'm only here 2 days a week. And we've been spending so much time talking about the offensive line and so much time talking about the safety position. I mean, your thoughts on the tight end position, the fact that, and keep in mind, this is a big key here, and that is because this offensive line is struggling so much, there's more value in a tight end that is more of a blocking tight end than a receiving tight end. And
yes,
that does not put Larry Donnell in a good situation. It benefits, I think, Cunningham and Fells more so than Donnell. So I'd say he makes this team.
I think that Cunningham's caught a lot of balls in practice, which has made people kind of take notice of him. And he's a guy who, remember, he was on the practice squad last year. So the coaches kind of understand what it is that he can do, but they're also very curious because they do think he's got some upside. I'm not ready to commit a spot to him yet, but what I will say is this. He will stay in the mix for the next 3 weeks. Whether or not he survives the 53, that may be one of those deals where we're talking about who's on the waiver wire. You know, and does some veteran tight end with experience, with a really good resume, suddenly pop free? Because remember, and Anita, I can't stress enough.
Remember last year when Tim Wright popped free? And then the Patriots went out and grabbed him, and
yeah.
I was just like, why did the Giants go out and get him? Anyway, he's not with the Patriots. I think he's back. I want to say he might even be back with the Buccaneers.
I think he went back.
I mean, and they're let me tell you something. Buccaneers have a lot of depth at the tight end position.
Yeah.
I mean, Myers is over there. You know, he had like a little, you like to call it a cup of coffee. He had a cup of coffee here at the Giants. I just don't think he worked into Kevin Gilbride's scheme. I think that's why that was the biggest issue with Myers here. But nonetheless, I mean, you're right. I think there are going to be some talented tight ends that are going to become available. But again, what is the need for the Giants in regard to the tight end position? It's more of a glorified sixth offensive lineman more so than a receiving tight end.
I think, folks, what you really want to concentrate on, and I've said this now, for 3 years in a row, Anita, I know I'm repeating myself from 2013 and 14 for sure, maybe even longer than that. Don't even worry about the 53 as they are constructed on, what did we say, September the 5th? Is that the date we put down for 53? Don't even worry about that.
Yeah, it's September 1st. September 1st is 75.
Right.
And then September 5th is 53.
All right, don't think about that. Think about the 53 on the roster that are going to Dallas for opening night, because there's always the possibility, and again, I look at this team being so much in flux, that the 53 that are on this team on September 5th may not be the 53 that make the trip to Dallas. There could be one or two changes there at the back end of that roster. It would not shock me at all.
201-939-4513. We go to line 1. Christian, welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, well, I wanted to talk about the offense real quick, and then I also have a little message for the callers I'm sure you'll enjoy.
Okay.
But
we'll enjoy, or the callers will enjoy?
Oh, you guys will as the host, trust
me. Okay.
But so last year I saw way too many times where, like, either third and four or longer, they would still be doing that draw play. And I don't know. To me, that's sort of given up in a way. And I know that they kept a lot out of the playbook, and I understand why. But, I mean, if you're doing a draw on anything more than 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4, I mean, that's just not a high percentage conversion right there. And I really hope that that's pretty much done and over with.
Okay.
But I wanted to let all the callers know that if you want to call and talk about Jason Pierre-Paul, there's absolutely no valuable conversation to be had. and you're pretty much just wasting your call because there's literally just nothing of value that you can really discuss with you guys about Jason Pierre-Paul right now. And, you know, there's been a lot of callers in the last, like, month and a half that are just, you know, really wasting their call. There's really nothing good to say about him right now.
Well,
you just got to wait and see.
You know what, I'll be honest, and thank you for the phone call. To be honest with you, there's nothing to say because there's nothing new to report. There's nothing new to know. I mean,
Tom said one thing, though, today. He did say he believes that recently JPP has had more conversation with more people on the team. Didn't have any more updates in terms of his medical condition or when he might be coming here, but it does seem like the open flow and the line of communication has been better and perhaps increased a little bit over the course of the last week, because I haven't heard Tom address that situation in about a week. And the little crumb that he gave us today made it seem like there was more talking going on, which obviously is not a bad thing. You'd rather see them talking than not talking.
Absolutely. But I mean, is that really news to
no,
report?
No, it's really not.
Is that, I mean,
not going to affect the roster opening day, I'll tell you that.
No. So, I mean, and it's unfortunate. It really is. It's,
sure.
It's unfortunate, but a lot of positive vibes in and around this facility and from his teammates to coaches to the front office, you know, really hoping that this all works out. So, I mean, other than that, there's really nothing to report. Mm-hmm. Let's go to line three. Jeff calling in from New Hampshire. Jeff, welcome.
Hi. I just wanted to jump in on the roster conversation real quick, and then I got a question for you.
Sure.
In regards to the roster, I know you guys are talking about keeping a fourth running back, and I know Paul's been saying he doesn't think they can.
Personally, it's
going to
be hard.
I don't think they can get through a season with just three running backs.
Yeah.
My That's hypothetical roster, obviously a million things can change, just the way I was looking at it. Roughly, if you keep 25 offensive players, 25 defensive, and your three special teams guys.
Yeah.
I had an offensive roster breaking down, get you two quarterbacks, your four running backs, get you to six, nine offensive linemen, get you to 15, six wide receivers, get you to 21, three tight ends, get you to 24, and then Hynoski, the fullback, there's your 25 guys on offense.
And I'm with you. That's what, honestly, that would, that's what I want. If it were me,
right.
That's the perfect scenario. But can you go with that many offensive linemen, given the fact that they've had questionable production and also a lot of injuries preventing guys from staying on the field? Can you do that, or do you have to keep an extra offensive lineman that may cost you a running back?
Right. Well, the only reason I think three is too few. I mean, running back's one of the highest injured positions in the league. You know, I think back to our Super Bowl in 2007. My Bradshaw was so big in the playoffs there. He was our fourth running back.
Yeah.
Derek Ward and Ruben Drones both ended up going down throughout the course of the
You're
season.
Absolutely
we
right.
We needed our fourth running back.
I agree with
and
you.
And then when you consider Rashad Jennings doesn't typically go through mm-hmm. a season uninjured. He's, you know, he's in his 30s. I think he's 30 now. And Vereen's not necessarily a 25-touch-a-game kind of guy. I don't know if they can afford not to. And I think they could probably have a better chance of sneaking a couple of offensive linemen onto the practice squad better than a kid like Darkwa, who I don't think most people think he would make. I don't even know if he'd be eligible for it.
Anita, this is a good call. This guy's making a lot of sense. You're thinking exactly the way I'm thinking, except I'm a little leery about that offensive line right now. You know, to watch these guys out here every day at practice and to not know who's going to be dressing, who's not going to be dressing, watching guys have to come out, I mean, it really gives you a lot of trepidation about how many you're going to keep there. But in a perfect world, you and I are exactly on the same page.
Yep. I feel the same way about the line, but I also agree with one thing you've been saying a lot, that we may not have all of our linemen on the roster yet. We might still sign somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to happen. I don't think there's any way we can not add another lineman between now and the start of the season. So I think that's hopefully going to help out. Quick question. I'll just take the answer off. Now, with Will Beattie, he's going to be, I believe it's called it's just the PUP list where he can return
yes.
after the, it returns after 8 weeks.
Go ahead.
Are we able to put more than one player on that list?
Yes.
But the guy cannot
have practiced during the course of training camp. If he stepped on the field once during training camp, he cannot go PUP.
Okay. I'm just thinking hypothetically, because we don't know what's going to happen with Jason Pierre-Paul, but if we do get him under contract, but he's not ready to play right away.
He goes NFI.
He goes, yeah. That would be
spot-wise.
That would be non-injury.
Right. Non-football
injury
list.
Non-football injury list.
Okay, so we could still keep him, but not have him on a roster start right away.
And thank you for the call. And again, I mean, that's, you know, the JPP camp and their philosophy, you know, for folks that are just not understanding why the process is happening the way it is that the JPP camp feels that he's going to be ready to go prior to week six. So when he feels that he's ready, he will, from what we understand, come to the facility, have the Giants doctors check him out, and he's hoping that he can go week four, week five of the NFL season. If he does come in and sign his tender, then the Giants do put him on the non-football injury list. He cannot even see the field until after week six. So right. that's the strategy from the JPP camp. It's not that he doesn't want to be a Giant. It's just he feels that he's going to be healthy enough that he'll be able to play pre week six. So you know, so that's their strategy. Just FYI. 201-939-4513 hashtag Giants chat. This is from Big Dash. He said, "I've been saying it for months now. Bobby Hart will be a key piece of the near future with this line, especially with the uncertainty of Schwartz and Jerry." And then he went on to say, you know, the next few years, the dominant O-line for the Giants, Flowers, Pugh, Richburg, Hart, and the fifth isn't here yet. Would you agree to that?
Well, I think that they drafted him because they do think he's got a lot of upside and potential. I don't think they expected to have to get a lot out of him as a rookie. Now, that's up to him. If his learning curve is really quick, maybe they can. But how about this? How about making Bobby Hart the third tackle or the extra tight end at a jumbo formation? How about that? We talk about the power running game, especially
you
when they get down to the goal line.
You love that jumbo. I know you do.
Smash, pound, crash, bang, boom. Bobby Hart on the end of the line. Give me an extra blocker up there. That extra 320 pounds of beef. All right. I'm sorry. I'm getting excited, folks.
It's all good. It's good that you get that excited. Let's go to line two. Kevin's calling in from Jackson. Kevin, welcome.
Hi. I just want to talk about how I think Jason Pierre-Paul will be the first ever four-fingered quarterback.
I think we should just go to another call.
Yeah, Kevin, thanks, but no thanks. That wasn't too funny. Sorry. Let's continue with some of the things that were communicated with the coaching staff and obviously McAdoo, the offensive coordinator, and some of the stuff the players were saying today.
Yes.
Just to fill you in, Selvey, good news on Selvey. His knee, no really immense damage, just a strain. Will not practice today, but it's good news that report is that it was just a strain. Prince working him in little by little, which is a positive. If you're just tuning in, we opened up the show, probably the biggest news today, besides, of course, Eli Manning and the comments that he made to the media today. About his contract, is Victor Cruz a strain in his calf, will not practice today, does not bode well, looking positive in regard to him playing in preseason game number two against the Jacksonville Jaguars. But here's the good news, and that is that Tom Coughlin said this has nothing to do with his knee, that this is all about dehydration. So the Giants just being very precautious here. Also, I based on the comments that we heard from Tom Coughlin and McAdoo, I would anticipate that we're going to see still some more Jeff Schwartz at the right tackle position today.
I think so, too.
Right?
I definitely think so. In fact, I even think that more after the comments were made just the other day, not even today, but 2 days ago, when Tom was asked about, oh, you know, we've seen some Schwartz out there. And he's like, you're going to continue to see him out there. Let's keep putting him out there and see what he can do. So they're very curious as to if Jeff Schwartz is a viable option to potentially be the right tackle if they decide to go that way.
Also, not only head coach Tom Coughlin, but McAdoo really singing the praises of Darkwa and what we saw from him in preseason game number one.
Mm-hmm.
So, and obviously a hot topic right now on this show is, you know, looking ahead to the first cuts, teams, rosters being trimmed down to 75, that's September 1st at 4 p.m., teams being trimmed down to 53, that's September 5th, that's going to be right around the corner. And how many running backs is this team going to take, is going to keep? Big question. So, and obviously time will tell, but interested to hear from you guys.
939-4513.
Thank you.
Yes.
I do so many different shows. that I have so many different phone numbers that I have to memorize. I appreciate it.
Click, 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 click. There you go, Giants.
Thank you.
We're good.
Thank you. Thank you. Tom Coughlin also said that they're really going to emphasize a lot in regard to special teams and the punt return team, specifically going into the game Saturday night against Jacksonville. So a few notes that I took while Tom Coughlin addressed the media.
Can I throw one more thing on that fire, please?
Absolutely.
Okay. You know,
I didn't know this was a fire.
Well, a whole bunch of logs there that we were burning as we were going through the list.
And you probably can't even read my handwriting.
That's okay. Not really.
Okay.
But I had one more thing I wanted to throw out there. In terms of the offense, Coach McAdoo, in discussing, look, he understands that this is still a work in progress. He's got an offensive line that he's hoping is going to get itself together. But in referring to the line particularly, here's the thing. He has such a diverse playbook. And we know that last year he was only able to bring out certain parts of it for a variety of reasons, one of which was the lack of all-around production from that line. Now, he said he thought this year he didn't feel inhibited by that. He was going to put out the whole playbook. But I thought it was interesting in addressing the line that Tom Coughlin himself said he doesn't know when or what date or how many games it's going to take before he knows who his starting five is going to be. And I do think that's important to understand because the Giants aren't putting limitations on this. It's a fluid deal in progress, and you know, as much as they would love to see the starting five get themselves together and just, like, close the book on it and say those guys are going to get it done, they can't do it yet. I wonder, to be honest, how much of that does still impact what McAdoo would like to do. He says it's not and that the line's growing and that he's got the whole playbook out there for him. You know, they're vanilla in the preseason. I know that. I didn't see a lot of versatility or a lot of stuff opened up the other day in Cincinnati. Maybe we'll see more against Jacksonville. I don't know the answer to that. We're going to have to wait for time to tell.
All right. Some things that Ben McAdoo shared with the media today. Number one, he said, yes, this team came out flat. Paul, how does that happen? You're a football player. You know, you're going through camp. I'm sure it gets monotonous and whatever. First preseason game. How are you not, like, geeked up for it, crumped? You're, like, all, like, let's go.
Guys told me, how
has a team come out flat? How does that happen, Paul?
Guys told me that the two practices in Cincinnati, and this was universal. I mean, I didn't just talk to two or three people. I talked to a ton of people across the board. Everybody from the coaching staff right on down to the last guys on that bench all felt that the Cincinnati practices were spirited, they were energetic, they were sharp, and they learned a lot from them. But then maybe the gas tank was dry. I don't know how, but maybe the gas tank was dry. They'd come on at the end of the week. They just didn't look so sharp against Cincinnati.
One of the questions that was posed to McAdoo was in practice and whatnot, they're really practicing like that high intensity speed type no huddle offense. And one of the questions was asked is this something that you're going to do a lot of in the season? And I liked McAdoo's response. He said, listen, I'm going to change up the speed.
Yeah.
I like what he said. My mom always told me, don't put all your eggs in one basket. So, and another thing is he said, is as long as our teams are dictating the speed. So I kind of like that. So see a variety. I'm sure we'll see a lot more no huddle this season. But it's not going to be. You know, this isn't a Philadelphia Eagles offense. It's going to be changed up. Actually said some positive things about Marshall Newhouse, which was somewhat surprising for me. Talked about Jeff Schwartz. Need to see him play. Wants to see him play in that Jacksonville game. So I do anticipate Jeff Schwartz will play against Jacksonville, right?
I do. I mean, he's going to be out there again today, and I'm sure he's going to take reps at right tackle again also.
So, and this was pretty cool. When he was – the question obviously was posed to him about Eli Manning because Eli had talked to the media prior to McAdoo. And he said, listen, I've been blessed in my career – because keep in mind, he came over from the Green Bay Packers. He said, I've been blessed in my career that I've been able to coach two franchise quarterbacks who not only play well – but also carry each other in a way that they're pros pro in the NFL. Obviously, you don't get that in every other team in the NFL, and I won't get into some of the reports that we know that transpired here this past week, but nonetheless, you don't get that. And so I thought it was pretty cool. McAdoo said, I've been blessed in my career that, you know, Aaron Rodgers and now Eli Manning, pretty spoiled as an offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I will say this about Eli. The other night, you know, he didn't have such a good game, obviously, against Cincinnati. But in talking to him and some of his teammates about it, again, no panic. This is flatline Eli, never worried, never concerned. And you know why? It's because he believes in the system. He believes in his talents and his abilities, his work habits, and he believes in his teammates. And, Anita, I want to say, and look, we all have played team sports at one time or another. When your teammates look at you as the leader, and you're even keel, and you show confidence and belief in not only yourself but in them, it makes things a whole lot easier to rebound after you have a bad outing like they did the other night. I'm looking forward to seeing the Giants' first unit play better against Jacksonville. I really am. I'd be surprised
and
if they
how
don't.
Many, a full first quarter, a
half? I wouldn't be surprised if they play a full first quarter. I wouldn't be surprised.
A half, maybe?
Maybe into the second quarter. Tom hasn't said anything yet, but I would consider if it's going well, I would consider going into the second quarter.
And a few names, of course, that he mentioned that he's been very impressed with. James Jones, he feels that he has been a standout at practice. Excited to see him, what he's going to do in games. Dwayne Harris, as well as, and we commented a little bit earlier in regard to Darkwa, was really big on Darkwa. And I like that he said this, the two-point play in the NFL. He said it's going to be more more prevalent. We're going to see it a lot more. You know that I've been talking about, that's why I think Tim Tebow makes the roster for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
I think Chip Kelly is going to groom him into that two-point special team specialist, something that doesn't exist in the NFL. I'm a big Tim Tebow fan. I'd like to see the young man get back into the NFL.
Is he going to play with 54 on his roster?
So, well, I mean, that's what it's going to come down to, is he's going to have to make a tough decision somewhere to keep Tebow on the roster,
yep,
to be that two-point conversion specialist. So that's going to be, but I thought it was interesting that McAdoo said that it's going to be more prevalent, and you're going to see it a lot in the
NFL
this season.
It's something you've got to be aware of. And quite frankly, defensively too. Now, we didn't talk to Spags today. This was not his day to talk, but
no.
It also goes to the other side of the ball. You need to be able to have a package in to defend the two-point play.
Let's go to Jeff in Rhode Island. Jeff, welcome in.
Hey, good afternoon, Anita and Paul. How are you guys doing today?
Great.
Okay. Paul, I know you're at practice every day. I've been interested in following Cooper Taylor, and Justin Curry had a nice game the other night. How are these guys coming along?
All right, Curry played garbage time in the fourth quarter, and I'll use that term lightly because we all throw it around for, you know, the also-ran guys who kind of mop up. He was extremely active. He was quick. He was all over the place. I don't know yet how he's injected himself into the upper part of the depth chart because, you know, when we talk about all these guys rotating, he's not one of the ones who's been rotating with the first-teamers or the second-teamers. He has been a back-end-of-the-depth-chart guy. But you're right, his fourth quarter was rather active the other night. I will tell you that. I mentioned it to somebody. I said, hey, you know what? He's been around the ball a lot. But he's also going against, like, the Bengals' fifth-teamers, too. So understand that. As far as Cooper Taylor's concerned, came up with a sore toe the other day, 2 days ago, did not practice, and then told us earlier today that he does expect to work. He understands the situation. It's his third year here with the Giants, and he's had two injury-plagued seasons to this point. So he's got to get himself on the field if he's going to even compete for a job. Right now, he's still in limbo land. You don't know what Cooper Taylor is.
Okay. I was just wondering, you know, how he looked when he was out there.
Well, he didn't play in the game. He didn't play, you know. I mean, he's a man. It's kind of tough right now.
Yeah. In regards to Darkwa, I think you're going to have to put him on a 53 because if you don't, and you try and put him on a practice squad, you know he's going to be history, and you also know that the injuries are going to occur during the course of the season. So, in my opinion, I think he's going to stick. So, that's it for today. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the phone call. Really appreciate it. All right. So, Paul, we end the show, and we've got 3 hours. Right? Until practice happens?
Yeah, and folks, if you're coming out.
How are you going to spend your 3 hours? What are you going to do, Paul?
Annoying you.
Yes. That's exactly what's going to happen.
Yes.
you're crazy.
But you know what, folks? If you're coming out, this is a good one to see. It's a full padded practice today. Uppers tomorrow, which means the shells and stuff, but today's the better practice to come to if
weather,
you have a chance.
Weather-wise, what?
Weather-wise, it's humid, it's hot, it's going to be this way tonight.
But it's not going to rain?
I don't think it's supposed to rain tomorrow either.
You want to call up your little weather app?
I'm going to do it right now.
On your new nifty phone that you're really excited about?
Yeah, well, here we go. Oh, come on, the Wi-Fi's not going. Oh, here we go. Possible showers, 40% chance on Thursday. So let's hope that does not happen.
Yeah, but today's Wednesday, Paul.
Today's Wednesday, 40%. Thursday, 40%. So if you have a chance.
Okay, time out.
What's that?
You can find out with the hour.
Oh, okay.
It'll give you hour to hour. So do you know how to do that?
I think you got to go in here, right? And then you go through that? No?
No.
Okay. Well, maybe there.
Okay.
Hey, folks, here's the bottom line, okay? If it's not raining, and I don't think it is. Look, it says 40%. I don't think it's going to rain. You can come out, watch
practice. I'm just saying, you hate somebody to make a trip all the way out here, and then
okay,
it's,
yeah, all right.
And then it's raining, Paul. So all right. We want to give them
I understand.
The accurate information.
I understand.
Right?
All right, well, look, here's the bottom line. Full pads tonight, uppers tomorrow. Walkthrough on Friday is not open to the public. Saturday preseason game at home against the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's what we've got coming up the next few days, and Big Blue Kickoff Live continues to be a 1:30 start on Thursday, and I don't know, we're doing it Friday also, I do believe.
Sure,
I'll be here for both shows.
Yeah, so Paul and I are back tomorrow. Mind you, only 15% precipitation, 5 and 6 p.m. 7 o'clock is supposed to be beautiful. So, by all means, please make your way out here to the Giants facility to watch the practice. As Paul said, it's full pads. It's always a fun practice to attend. And make sure you tune in to Giants.com for all the player, coach, offensive coordinator response from today. That will be posted. And on MSG.
6 o'clock tonight. I believe it's Bob Papa and Sean O'Hara doing the Training Camp Live show. So always check that show out as well for all your wrap-up information.
Fantastic. Thank you for all your audience participation. Myself and Paul Dottino will be back with you tomorrow, 1:30 p.m. right here on Giants.com.
Well, here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Jackson on the field. He's got through. 35, 30.